some notes because I've got a PowerPoint thing to go with this, so I've got to be a bit more disciplined today. But I hate these things in front of me. Let's have a word of prayer first. Lord, as we come to reflect on your word, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. The theme today is peace within and peace without. And the text I've chosen is Luke's, you know, Jesus said, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. Now, the important thing about this is, if you don't have peace in your heart, it's not going to go into that house and those people. Because if you go with a sort of, oh, I'm all stressed and that, peace be you to brother and sister, they're going to look at you and say, you're joking. But how many of us are like that? If we stop and think about it. How many of us go, I've got to go and knock on this door and speak to these people. Am I feeling a bit nervous? Anyone done that? Yeah. Where's the peace? The peace comes from the confidence in the Lord. Now, that word peace, what's the Hebrew word for that? Shalom. Who knows what shalom means? Oh, come on. Okay, next one. It has four. It's a more than just peace. It means wholeness of life. Understand, wholeness of life. Means you've got your life together. It's all fixed up, working properly. Right relationships. It means your relationships with the people you're meeting and dealing with are right. But more than that, it means your relationship with God is right. Powerful word, this word, shalom, isn't it? It means success and fulfillment. Doesn't mean you're going to go out and make $1 million. It does mean that your life is being lived, in a sense, successfully and in fulfillment of what God wants of you and what you feel God's leading you to. Okay? And, of course, in their time, it says absence of war. There was a lot of fighting and, you know, life was a bit risky. For this sermon, I'm talking about the war within. If most of us are honest, we have this little war going on from time to time. For some people, it's a lot of the time. For some of us, it's just when we get a bit stressed. God doesn't want us to have that war within. God wants us to have peace. So that Hebrew word shalom is quite a powerful word, don't you think? So I hope you make notes of this later. It's only, you can ask Donald for a printout later if you want. So that's very important. Let's go back to the reading. Can we do that? Yeah, the gospel. Here we are. Okay. Now, this passage is important. The Lord appoints these 72 and sends them out ahead of him. Notice that he says, I am going to go to these places. You go ahead and prepare the way. And he said, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Have you ever seen sheep or lambs when a pack of dogs is going for them? I've never seen when the wolves attack, but I've seen it when the pack of dogs go. What do you think they're like? The sheep and the lambs, not the dogs.
Scared.
They bunch together, they panic, or they if once the dog goes in, they scatter. They're frightened. Jesus, in other words, Jesus is saying, I'm sending you out like lambs. But if a lamb knows that the shepherd is there, right, to protect them, the lamb will not panic. You might see that. I've seen that where the sheep then just bunch up. The shepherd appears and the sheepdog goes for the other dogs. And it's quite a fascinating sight. The other dogs scatter. And the sheep are safe. And this is what Jesus is meaning. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. But don't be frightened because I am with you. Now here's the next one. Luke 10:4. You're going on a journey. Do not take a purse. You don't need any money. You don't need a bag or sandals. And do not greet anyone on the road. In other words, don't dilly-dally on... Who knows that old song? Don't dilly-dally on the way. You've got a job to do. But let me ask you a question. If someone told you, right, God said, I'm sending you out. Don't worry about packing your bag. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about food for the journey or anything like that. Don't worry about a change of undies and clothes. How would you react? Come on, be honest. Don't you people speak? Oh, once. Pardon? You'd be amazed. You'd be disobedient. You know, you go and get a case and pack it. Yes, now we're being honest. But I've known Christians. I remember meeting a couple once who said that they finished Bible college and the Lord said to them, go down to the station. I want you to go to such and such. I've forgotten the name of the town. Get a train there. And they didn't have the money for the fare. So they went down to the station. And they went up to the ticket office. And we want two tickets to, let's say, Aberystwyth, for want of a word. And the guy gets tickets. They said, we don't have any money to pay you. What? And a man walked back from the queue and said, the Lord's telling me to pay for your fares. Mm-hmm. I've been used like that in life for other Christians. And God can be like this. I'm not saying you expect it all the time, but when you hear the Spirit speak, you must be prepared to be... Because what was Jesus doing to them there, do you think? Building their faith and trust in God. Building their faith and trust in God. Most important. So that when they got into the town and went to the house and said, peace be with you, it was for real. Do you think your faith and trust is in God is to that stage? Don't answer that question to me, but you need to think about it yourselves. So that if you have that faith and trust in God, you will have that peace and you will be able to share it with others with confidence. Better check with my notes now. Let's have the next slide. Here is a wonderful verse, and I think you guys should memorize it. It's from Isaiah. Whoops! Go on. This is it. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace, not imperfect peace, but perfect peace, him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Now, how many people have said, Lord, help me with this problem. I'm trusting you. And then, well, you say, now, just in case God doesn't do it, I'll go and organize something. Uh-huh. Yes. Hands up. Not many hands going up. We have a habit of doing that, don't we? You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast. In other words, we don't waver. Lord, we trust you. We commit this to you. We're holding solid on it. That's really important. We're holding solid on it. Let's see how we get this. Now let's go to this one, Psalm David. Now this is a great few verses in David's psalm. The king rejoices in your strength, and he's singing to the Lord. How great are the victories you give. You've granted the king the desire of his hearts, etc. He asked you for life, and you gave it. But what's really important is the last verse. For the king trusts in the Lord through the unfailing love of the Most High. He will not be shaken. Could you say that? Could you sing that to the Lord? that I trust you, Lord, completely because I know your unfailing, through your unfailing love, I will not be shaken. If you're going to be shaken anyway, you won't have the peace within to share without. Now, it's very interesting, I've found in life, and I've had a few years, as you can see. I've observed and experienced that when you have peace within in a critical situation, it helps to calm those around you when they see it. Have you noticed that, anyone? Mm-hmm. Peace within reflects to peace without. Let's look at Paul's experience. That's the next slide. And this is what Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, we should sing that chorus, shouldn't we? Rejoice in the Lord always. I want to see a hand that can honestly say they've always rejoiced in the Lord in every circumstance. I don't put my hand up. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now remember what Paul went through in his life of ministry. Beatings, stonings, left for dead, imprisonment. He's in chains in prison and he and Silas are singing hymns. If you were in prison, what would you be doing? Complaining or singing hymns? In everything, by prayer, petition, thanksgiving, put your requests to God. How many of us, when we're praying and putting requests to God, are doing it with thanksgiving? Or really, if we're honest, with resentment at what might have happened? I'd have to be honest, in my time, from time to time, I've been resentful about something that's happened. I've come to God also saying, well, that shouldn't have happened to me, Lord. And I'm asking you to sort it out. That's not thanksgiving. And the peace of God, when you do this, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then he says, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, think about such things. But this is the last verse. Remember, if you're a parent or a leader in any way, Paul says, with confidence to these people, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. Is that a sobering statement for us? Uh-huh. Remember, if you're a parent, and I'm a grandparent now with six, who observe everything and copy. Do you know, it was a funny thing, when I was a lad, I observed my father had certain habits. You know, one of them was like this. You know, he'd sort of get a bit agitated and pull his ear low. And Dad was in his 40-ish then. And I thought, well, I'll never be doing that. But when I got to about 40, guess what started happening? I'm not joking, and I've seen it in other people. We have to be very conscious of what we say, what we do, what we teach. Because even if we think no one's, you know, we're not teaching, they're observing and will copy. And if we say we are Christians, they are really checking on you. I notice this in a wider community. When I'm supposedly retired, but as a pastor, once they know you're a pastor, boy, they're watching and listening and saying, well, does he stack up? But, you know, it's not just for pastors, it's for every Christian. We should be proud that the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to be one of his people. Proud and excited. Who's excited about Jesus? Come on, who's excited about Jesus? Do you show it to others? Huh? Or do you hide it in case someone says something, oh, he's a stupid Christian? I get excited about Jesus and what Jesus does. And Paul got excited and he couldn't stop talking about it. And he was able to say that whatever you've learned and received or heard from me, put into practice. Now, if we can do that as a Christian community, truly, imagine what real impact we might have on a community around us. And to put it bluntly, because I'm an Aussie now, no longer a Pom, if we don't do that, you know, people notice and we become of no account. But it's when they see people saying, yes, we are Christians and this is what Christ is doing in our lives and it's good and it's exciting and they see positive things happening, they start saying, I wonder what it is they've got that maybe we should have. And I've seen that happen time and again in a congregation in my 30-odd years in ministry. Nearly 40 years in ministry. When you start really switching in to these things, things start happening. And the community starts taking notice. It's powerful stuff that God's called us to. You know, I used to, when I was a young fella, be told that, well, the miracles and things finished when the apostles died out. I got one good Aussie word for that. The polite one, bulldust. It happens today. It's not just a gospel of love, it's a gospel of power. And it's when you live in that love and power, confidently and entrusting in God, you get the peace within. And it is exciting, I can tell you. Where am I up to on this, Lopes? I get carried away. I forget these things. Let's have a quick look. Another key thing here, the point is, Isaiah 41b, you descendants of Abraham, my friend. The Lord speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. You are, Jesus says to his disciples, you are my friends if you do what I command. Now notice that's a conditional. You are my friends if you do what I command. Jesus is not saying, well, I'm going to be your friend no matter what you do. I'll be your friend if you do what I command. And then he says, I no longer call you servants. I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father I've made known to you. And then Luke, again quoting Jesus, says to his disciples, I tell you, my friend. So what's a key word there for peace within? Friendship with God. Anyone got good close friends? What do you do with your good close friends? Talk to them, share time with them, listen to them. Listening is never mind talking. But the key thing I found in life is as I've developed my friendship with Jesus, I've got more peace within. Because that when we have a friend, what's the other thing that happens as we build a friendship? Trust. Trust. Absolutely shattering if you have a friend who breaks that trust. But we know that Jesus will never break that trust. So an important thing is to build your friendship, your relationship with Jesus. Now, one guy that I really admire, didn't live in my lifetime, but George Muller. Who's heard of George Muller? A number of hands. One of the stories I love is that he was on a ship going across the Atlantic to a meeting in New York. And there was a fog set in, the captain sort of sent a message out to the passenger, sorry, we're going to be late into New York. Now, George wasn't having this, so he went up to the captain's cabin and said, listen, My God's got an appointment for me in New York, and he's never let me down. Let's pray about it. So they got on their knees. He prayed, and guess what happened? The fog lifted. The other one I love, he's got this orphanage, and there's no bread, there's no food in the larder for breakfast. But he brings all the kids down, sets them around the table, and said, let's say grace. Now, mark you, the table's set, but there's no food. And he's prepared to say grace in confidence that God will provide. So they say grace, and as they're finishing grace, the baker comes through the door and says, the wheel's fallen off my wagon. Do you want all my bread? So they had food for breakfast. I think that's pushing his luck. I mean, that was the confidence that George Muller had. I mean, if you haven't read his biography, it's worth reading, because it really is faith building. I suppose the other one thing I should say is, because someone always says to me, oh, do you practice what you preach? That's a good question, isn't it? And sometimes I've given a sermon and I've had someone come up to me and say, you know, you ought to practice what you preach. That's when I've been working too hard or something. And the answer in this one I can say is, yes, I do. I might say it took me a lot of my lifetime to get there. But I do practice what I do have that peace within. And I have that joy. Because I have that absolute confidence in Jesus. You know, it's even if I've got to drive somewhere, you know, to a shopping centre, I say, Lord, it's busy, I need a car park. You know, it's not the big things. A lot of little things in life God works us for. And sure enough, I remember once I was driving on, I saw a spot, there, oh, that's great. And then someone pulled in and I thought, well, that's not right. So I had to drive round. And as I drove round, someone pulled out of a much better location. And in I went. And God does things like this. And I find daily living, trusting in God for the little things, not just the big things, is marvelous. And sometimes I think I'd like to do something, or I'd like something to happen. And you know, God answers that. I've even asked him in prayer. And God does it. That's what I think about. That's why, you know, you would do the same thing with your friends. If you knew your friend of yours would like to have something or have a treat, what would you do? Do it for them? Yeah. Well, God does the same thing. Build that relationship, that peace within. Where are we now? Yes, next one. Okay, these are the keys. The way that I got to that peace within, to be still. Learn not to be rushing all the time. Now, if you're a mum with young kids, it ain't easy. But some start its time in the day, you can settle them down and find that quiet time with the Lord. I have found it's essential to learn to be still, to put everything aside, because while you let things crowd in, you can't hear God speak. You've got to be still and listen. I've seen so many Christians saying, right, Lord, and they start to pray and they keep talking and talking and talking. God hasn't got a chance to get a word in. And they say, thank you, Lord, and off they go, you know? You've got to be still and listen. It's a two-way thing, prayer. And in the listening, you hear, God speaks to me in different ways. Sometimes I've heard God speak audibly. I get words into my mind. The Lord might say, open a Bible, and I get a Bible message, you know, a verse or something. So there are different ways. But what you've got to do is be open and be ready to listen and hear that. And the answer is to obey. Even if it sounds ridiculous to you, what God's telling you to do, trust and go and do it. And I found this hard, out the hard way from experience. Because I thought, well, no, that can't be God. You speaking God. That's not logical. You know, I've got an engineering background. It's not logical. And I go off and do it the way I think it should be done. You know what happens. Trust the Lord and it works. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. And they're better than our ways. And finally, let's have these. Here's the things, the peace. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." That's a promise. Paul writes to the Romans, "The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." And he writes again in the Colossians, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Now notice those two things. What Paul has learned is he had to submit to the Holy Spirit. In other words, we have to give up our independent control of our lives. Independent control of our lives. And let the Lord rule. And for most of us, that is not easy. Who likes to be in control of their own life? So that's the final point. Submission. Real submission. And letting the Holy Spirit control. Let's pray. Lord God, we give thanks for your word. And what a challenge it is, Lord. But what a joy when we learn to live it. And so, Lord, I just pray that this day, for everyone here, that it becomes a reality in every way. That any impediment to the peace within, Lord, you would lead to its removal. That each may experience the wholeness and the fulfillment of that peace and joy from being your friend. In your wonderful name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. And the people said, Amen. Let's stand and sing that hymn, "Like a River Glorious."